God is good, and we're in a season of just, we know we're in a season of the world going from worse to worse, but we're in a season of breakthrough and a lot of opportunity for the body of Christ. This is our day. This is our season. This is our time where we are really to show forth the fullness of God. This is the people of the world's last chance. This is their last opportunity. And it's our responsibility to show them everything we can, what God has for them and who God is. Tonight, I want to begin to share about foundations for kingdom prosperity. And I know that I'm already talking to good givers. So it's not like, you know, I think, well, boy, you guys better get on the bandwagon here and learn how to give and all that kind of stuff. It isn't about that. It's about getting through to another level, beginning to step up and to move forward in the area, particularly of finances. Now, a lot of these principles apply overall to the kingdom of God, but I'm particularly just looking at financial increase. And it's wonderful for us to be blessed and to have our needs met. And praise God, that's a wonderful witness, you know, for a lot of people, because the majority of the people don't have their needs met. Majority of the people are in debt up to their eyeballs, are living from paycheck to paycheck, or else they're begging. You know, they're not living in what God has provided. And praise God for the blessing that we live in, but there's more. And a lot of times, once we get to that place of, man, we're out of debt, you know, and our needs are met, praise God, we can sit down, relax, and breathe because, you know, hallelujah, we've attained. Well, there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more that God wants for us and from us in these last days. So we're just going to start at the beginning, kind of, and take a look at the foundation of prosperity and what we need to do to grow and develop in it. First of all, we've got to understand that it is God's will for us to prosper. It is God's will for us to prosper. And I know you're all sitting there, yes, that's right, amen, I believe. And we do believe that. We know it's His will, but it is His will for you to prosper more than you are prospering. Whatever level of prosperity you're on, it's God's will for you to prosper more than that. You have not attained the fullness of prosperity yet that God wants you to have. And my purpose in sharing this is it's for me as well as for you that we would step up to a greater level of prosperity. And it's for a reason. We'll get to that. But it is God's will for us to prosper. It is not evil. It is not carnal. And these are arguments a lot of times that within the church world, I mean, you know, the world wants to prosper. They'll do anything, you know. They'll sell their soul if they can prosper. I mean, they don't care what it is. They just want money. They want to be able to succeed. And this is not about that. But prosperity is not evil. It is not carnal. You might be carnal. You might have evil intentions, but prosperity is not evil, and it is not carnal. It is God's will for us. But we have to know this from the Word. When we, you know, begin to share this, because we, you know, we've lived through different eras of this message in the faith message. You know, when it first started years and years ago, it got labeled, you know, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. I mean, you know, anything you can think of, any phrase that would rhyme, we got that tacked on to us, you know, and, well, you're just greedy, you're just haughty, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And we have got to know from the Word that it is the will of God for us to prosper. And when we're challenged, and in the kind of prosperity that God is holding out today for the body of Christ, what He is looking for, it will be challenged by at least the Pharisees. You know, the world can kind of take us or leave us sometimes, but the Pharisees will not like it. And we have to be able to say more that when someone says, it is not the will of God for you to have lots of money and be successful like that. That is not the will of God. We have to be able to say something more than it is too. And sometimes that's the only argument we can come up with at the moment, you know? It's right, but I want to share things tonight that build a foundation, that we begin to know these things, and that we can do more than just say, well, 3 John 2 says, I pray that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, because we know that one. That's a great one. That works for healing everything. You know, that's your go-to scripture for anything good, you know. But we need to know more than that, because one scripture is fine for us. One word is fine for us. That's all we need. But for the world, they need to know that this is not just one scripture jerked out of somewhere and we're making some kind of strange doctrine out of it, you know, because it's what we want, because we want money and all that kind of stuff. We've got to have a good foundation. So we are going to look at a whole bunch of scripture tonight, so you are not going to be able to take your nap this evening, because we're going to be looking at a whole lot of words. So Psalm 35, we're going to start there. Psalm 35, verse 27. This is a first foundation verse. It says a whole lot for just one verse. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And we are familiar with that. Praise God, he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. But the first part of that, it says, let him shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. This is a key in prosperity. It is for the righteous cause of God. It is for the righteous cause of the kingdom of God. This is not just us prospering. Praise God, we get to prosper. Praise God, we get our needs met. Praise God, we don't have to go to bed every night wondering where we're going to get the money to pay the next bill, or to have to worry about, you know, the bill collector calling and saying, you know, we're coming to get you. You know, we're coming to get your stuff because you're not paying for it, those kind of things. We don't have to worry about that. But it's about the righteous cause of the kingdom of God. And when we favor God's righteous cause, that puts us in a place for us to be able to prosper. It's one of the conditions, one of the avenues that puts us in a position for God to prosper us, because we're interested in the cause of Christ, in the cause of God. But then we can say, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure in prospering us. Because we have so much of the world in us, we have a hard time thinking that being really, really prosperous and having lots of money and lots of stuff is worldly and wrong. We have so much. We know that intellectually that it's not wrong, but there's still a lot of just perception pressure and emotional pressure if we've not really renewed our minds to that. We've been talking about that a lot in Sunday school, you know, of how we got to change our whole perception and everything, because we can know these verses, but down in our gut somewhere now and then there's this little chink in our soul that will limit us. But God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So this is one. This is just another verse. Instead of just, oh yes, it is his will, these are the things that we can say. This is what God has said. God says, when I favor his righteous cause, when I am interested in his business and doing things for him, he takes pleasure in prospering me. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Another familiar scripture, Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money and a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of sorrow attached to what they have. They might have money, and they might have stuff. They might have an awful lot of debt. They might have a lot of wheeling and dealing and, well, is this going to work? Or worrying and fretting because what if the stock market dives? What if, you know, all of a sudden you wake up and it drops 1,000 points tomorrow? What are we going to do? Look at all the millions I'm going to lose. You know, that's sorrow. That is sorrow. But the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and there's no sorrow with it because there's an unlimited supply. There is an unlimited supply in the blessing of God. God will never run out. Nations are running out. We're printing money on worthless paper. We don't have anything to back it up. But praise God, God will never run out. We could wake up one morning and all the green stuff we have in our wallet could be absolutely worthless. It could do absolutely nothing, but God won't run out. Whatever it would take, God won't run out. Praise God. He adds no sorrow, but the blessing will make you rich. The next verse, Deuteronomy 28. Familiar section of Scripture. Verse 11. I'm going to read it just from the Amplified. It's not too much different than King James. But this is within the context of the blessing that we are walking in, the blessing of Abraham that came on us because of faith in Jesus. 28:11 says, "The Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity." A surplus. Not just enough from paycheck to paycheck. Not just enough that your bills get paid every month. You will have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Prosperity in every way. Now, in this day and age, we deal a lot more in money. You know, people still have crops and livestock and things like that and things, and that's part of it too. But in our day and age, it's all pretty much just based on money. You know, we're not out there trading our grain for a side of beef or anything. You know, we're trading our money. So in our time, the prosperity is definitely includes money. But said he would give you a surplus of prosperity. A surplus. That's way more than you use. Way more. God is not opposed to savings accounts. Now, he doesn't want them locked up where he can't have access to them. But he is not opposed to you. He is not opposed to you having barns and storehouses full. But we've got to make sure that they're for his use. That if he would ever say, "I need that," that we'll turn it loose. We say, "Well, I don't want to get rid of that. I've got that saved. I got that saved up for when I retire. I got that saved up for this, or we're going to take a vacation," or, you know, those kind of things. Because God will make a surplus, and he will never run out. Praise God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. God wants us to prosper. He does not have a problem with blessing you in any way, shape, or form. He is so good. Isaiah chapter 1, let's read verse 18 too. I mean, it's such a great lead-in, and it goes with this morning's message. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Jesus came to cleanse us. Came to set things right for us. And then he says, "And if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." If you have a willing heart towards God, that you are willing towards him and you want to obey him, you want to please him, and then you do obey. I mean, sometimes we obey and we're not willing. You know, we do it out of obligation, but we're not yielded. It's not our desire and our joy. We just want to obey because that's what we're supposed to do. But said, if you're willing and obedient, both of them, you will eat the good of the land. We should be able to say, "Man, I am willing and I am obedient, so it should just be normal for me to eat the good of the land, for me to have the best, The good of the land is the finest fruit. It means you're not the gleaners going out and picking up what was left in the corners of the field, or having to settle for the seconds or the thirds or whatever's left of the scraps. It means you get the choice of the crops. You get good things. You get the best. He says you'll eat the good of the land. Let's go to Proverbs 28. Praise God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28. 20. It says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. See, we can't hasten to be rich, to walk in the blessings and to prosper because it's God's will, and to follow after God and to enjoy his blessing and his prosperity is fine. We'll abound. If we'll be faithful to God, we will abound. We will abound with blessings, but you don't want to get caught up in just trying to get rich. Trying to get rich just won't work. You might get rich, but you might have sorrow with it if it's not the blessing of the Lord. Because you can go out and get rich here. You can go out and wheel and deal, and you can do it honestly. You don't even have to be crooked. You can go out and make money. You can excel and then just and put yourself out there and work hard and be diligent. You can do a lot of things to make money, but the blessing of God, the power of God bringing that into your life, there's no sorrow with it. It's a lot better blessing. Praise God. Faithful man's going to abound with blessings. Okay, let's look at a couple verses in the New Testament because sometimes, you know, when people are challenging you, you can give them all that. Well, that's the Old Testament. That's under the law. You know, that kind of stuff. Let's go to Matthew 6. We just want them to know that Jesus was in favor of this too. Matthew 6:33, very familiar verse. Jesus was talking to the people about, you know, oh, your treasures and not serving two masters and people that worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear, you know, all the needs of this life and all these things. And he's talking about all of that. In verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And these things are the stuff. It's your clothes and your food, what you're going to drink, how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to meet your needs, all those different things, all the stuff of everything that you need to live in this life, all the needs that you need supplied. Jesus said, if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you'll get your priorities in line, all that stuff will be added to you. Be added to you. You don't have to go out and beg, borrow, and steal. God, it says, the verse before that says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He's not saying, well, you should not be concerned. He's saying, don't worry. You just seek me. Just follow me. Just obey me. Walk in my ways. I'll take care of this stuff. You will not go without. You will have everything you need. Praise God. Philippians 4:19. Familiar one again. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will not supply your need based on your salary. He will not supply your need based on your need. He will supply your need according to his riches in glory. And he has an unlimited supply. He is not limited in any way. He's got all the riches. If there isn't something we need, he can make it. He made all of everything we see out of nothing. Not really nothing, but out of stuff you can't see. He spoke out of himself and created the universe and spoke, and grass grew and trees came up and fish filled the waters, and all these things came out of God. So anything we would need, even if it wouldn't be available anywhere in the earth, God can make it happen. He is unlimited in what he can do for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to get strong in these things. Strong in them, and not just be able to quote them fast, but they got to become a part of who we are, that we really believe this, that it really belongs to us, that we really start to cross over into it and actually walk in it, that it's not just really good things that we know, it's a life that we can live, that we can actually experience it. Psalm 115, verses 13 and 14, says, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. If you know, we kind of look at ourselves here, we're sort of a hidden gem in this region, in the nation. You know, poor little West Virginia doesn't have a whole super big reputation in the country for being anything too great, you know, or if you want to put us in Appalachia, you know, because of our location. I mean, we got all kinds of stigmas that go with us. So we can, you know, we are considered and looked at as really small, but he'll bless those who fear the Lord, small and great. He'll bless us anyway. As long as we're serving God and we're fearing him, obeying him, we honor and respect him, he will bless us, even though we might be little in the world's eyes. Verse 14 says, May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your kids. He doesn't want it to be just you. He wants it to travel on. He wants this whole pattern, this whole lifestyle, this whole blessing to just keep moving forward into the next generation, that it becomes a perpetual thing. You know, that it is just a constant thing that grows and increases. 2 Corinthians 9. I know we're kind of flipping back and forth here, but 2 Corinthians 9. It is his will for us to prosper. He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is another one of, you know, this day and age, for this time, not the Old Testament. This is new stuff that we live by if we live by the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, how much sufficiency? All sufficiency in all things. How many things? All things, may have an abundance for every good work. There are a lot of good works going on in the kingdom of God and throughout the earth. There are a lot of good works. And he is able to make grace, all grace abound, so that we can have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. That means when you see a good work here, some minister's doing something, winning souls, you know, and just making a big impact in the kingdom, and you give to him, and then the next day you see somebody else, and oh man, they're doing so much good, and it's in another part of the world. Here you gave to this one for over in Africa, you know, and just reaching all those people there. And now there's people that are over in Asia and reaching people that, you know, just have been so sealed off from the gospel. It's like, oh rats, I just gave to this one, but oh, this is a good work too, man. I know that's God's work. You can be sufficient to give into all of it. Any good work that you have the heart's desire to want to bless and to be a part of, he says, you can have sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. And it doesn't mean you have to give into every good work. But if you want to, you can have the abundance to give into every good work. You don't have to say, well, I only have $50, so I'm going to have to decide how I can divide it among all these ones, you know. And I don't want to just send a dollar to 50 different ones, you know, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can be a blessing in every place for every good work. Hallelujah. Sufficiency to abound. Praise God. Okay, a couple more things here for this particular point, that it is the will of God for us to prosper. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to look at the first 12 verses, because this is what God has made available. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks." Now, because of the time this was written, you can say the income in your place of employment. You could add that in there. "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses." See, you're supposed to have storehouses. You should have a bank account. You shouldn't be living out of an envelope. I don't mean that to be offensive, but there's a lot of people that live out of an envelope. You ought to have an account. You ought to have money in the bank. Money doing its work. He's going to command the blessing on your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Anything you do, whatever you do, whatever task or anything that you get involved in, there's going to be a blessing on it. "And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord." They're going to see something. This is stuff you can see, because that's the only way they have to look. They don't have revelation knowledge yet. They don't have Jesus in their heart yet. So all they can do is just look at your life. So this is what they're going to see. "The people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you." It'll be stunning. It'll kind of shake them just a little bit. "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, and the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure." That's his storehouse. God wants you to have storehouses, because he's going to open his storehouse to you, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. "You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." Praise God. There is a way to live where we don't have to borrow. We don't have to borrow. So many people are so limited. I mean, and don't get condemned if you're still in that place. We've all been there. We've all been through the borrowing thing, because we all grew up in the world and that's how you did it. Now, you know, some people might have had the privilege where they didn't have to experience that. But the majority of people have experienced it. But praise God, God can raise us up. We can grow and develop in him. We can develop in our faith and walk in his blessing. And he can deliver us from that. Now we're looking at this as something that we can specifically pursue by our dedication to God and our faith. But when it says these blessings will overtake you, before we began, quote, pursuing prosperity as such, God delivered us so that we didn't have to borrow. He delivered us. And it was his doing. It wasn't us figuring out a way to get out of debt. It was his doing. We were just busy about trying to obey him and serve him. And he came and brought the way to us. When we moved here back in 81, we had our home in Ohio, and we were saving it for Gordon's parents so they'd have a place to live when they retired. And we had a mortgage on it. And at that particular time, the interest rate was 7 3/4, which now is kind of high compared to what it is for now, but that was the interest rate on it. Well, we had lived here a few years. I don't remember how long it was. We had bought our house in 1973, and we moved here in 81, so maybe we'd had 10 years. It was a 30-year mortgage, and all of a sudden, we got a letter in the mail one day from the savings and loan where I had worked, and it was when the economy was in really not good shape, and interest rates had gone to 14% to buy a home. So the interest rates were really high. Well, they did not want our piddly little loan on their books that was only paying them 7 3/4. They wanted to get rid of those burdens because they wanted to free those things up so they could lend money at 14% and make more money. So they send a letter and offer a deal. We'll cut your interest rate in half if you'll double your payments, and it'll pay it off just like in a few years. It's like, okay. So we doubled the payment. They cut the interest rate to 3-something, a little less than 4%, and just boom, 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 in no time at all, it was paid off. Probably what, maybe in 15 years, I mean, for a 30-year mortgage, within 15 years, it was paid off. Completely. And we weren't pursuing that. I mean, you know, it was all just part of living life and just the expenses and what you had to do. And God just brought that into our path and took care of that. And when we bought our next home, we bought the home we live now back in 91. And, you know, we hadn't walked into a greater abundance yet. Our needs have always been met. God's blessed us, but God's still moving and working our life. We bought that home in 81 or 91, and I think by probably 1994, the mortgage was paid for. We were out of debt. Haven't been in debt since. Have not. I think we borrowed money once to buy a car, and then we paid it off in 2 weeks just because we didn't have the money in the checking account the day we went to the dealership and bought the car. But we had to go through the process, you know. But we have not borrowed a dime since then. That is the Word of God working. And we haven't even, I mean, you know, this isn't necessarily a good thing, but we have not pursued this with due diligence. We have not pursued pressing into a greater level of financial increase. But man, God's done great things with us just doing our best to stay true to Him. He has done this much without hardly any faith effort on our part. He's just laying it at our feet. Praise God. He's a good God. He has blessed us. It is His will to bless. It is His will to bless and to prosper you financially. Now, here in Deuteronomy 28, jump over to verse 29, because after verse from 15 on, then it's the curse, and it's a lot longer list. It's really bad if you're under the curse. Praise God, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. I just wanted to point out a couple verses here because this is what's under the curse. Verse 29 says, "You shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one will save you." I think I don't know whether it's amplified or not, but that you'll be oppressed and robbed. You're going to lose. It's just going to not work. Bad stuff's going to happen. And then in verse 38, see what that one says. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You'll give. If you're under the curse, if things aren't working right, if there's something wrong and you're trapped in the curse, you can give and it won't produce anything. You'll sow seed and it won't come up. You'll plant a field and you just won't get much harvest. That's all under the curse. That's the opposite of what God wants for us. God wants us to be blessed and to prosper. Praise God. Now, last scripture for this point about God wanting us to prosper. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. You say, well, this isn't a money scripture. Well, no, it isn't, but it is. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is not automatic to have faith for money. You've got to hear and develop faith for prosperity, just like you've got to develop your faith to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just like you've got to develop faith for healing. You've got to develop faith in the righteousness in who you are in Jesus. It's by faith, being able to trust God, and it comes by hearing. That's why we're going through these scriptures, that we can build that into us, that it is the will of God for me to prosper. God is not holding out. He is not afraid of me getting my hands on any kind of money or any kind of blessing. He's not concerned about it. He is not afraid of that. He wants to bless us. He wants to increase us. But it comes by faith. It isn't just, obviously, it isn't just totally going to fall on us. Because none of us are living in this yet. Not in the extent that God says is available to us. We're all living in different degrees. You know, we're all at different places in our faith and where we're living. And praise God for what it's producing. It's wonderful. Praise God, we're better off than we ever were. We're growing. We're increasing. But there's so much more available. But our faith has to develop, because we have a tendency, once we kind of get our needs met and get comfortable, you know, the bills are being paid. Even if we have payments, even if we have a mortgage and a car payment and other payments, as long as we got the money to make the payments every month, well, it's okay. You know, nobody's breathing down our neck. We're meeting the obligations, so we're kind of okay with that. But there's something better. There's something better. There's something better where you can have abundance, where instead of using that money to have to pay a mortgage payment and a car payment and the credit card payment and the charge card at the department store and the bills at the doctor's office or anything else where you're making payments on anything. You know, praise God if you're able to make them. I'm not putting you down, but there's a way to live where you can, instead of having to use your money for that, you could be sowing into the kingdom of God. You could be a blessing to people. You can be causing the furthering of the work of the gospel, of the increase of the kingdom of God in a greater way. Instead of only having maybe $25 a month that you can, quote, put into the gospel, you might have $600 or $700 or more. I mean, there's pretty big payments out there for a lot of people. You know, you could have so much more that you could actually be sowing into the kingdom of God. And as we begin to look at this, there's to be increase. It's not just, okay, you get to do that one time and it's over with. God wants us to be able to increase so we can do it again and again and have more and more. And it is a perpetual flow. It is a perpetual flow in the kingdom of God. It's in the kingdom of God, but it's also reaching out into the world with the gospel of the kingdom to bring others in and to increase the kingdom in that way, that more people come into the kingdom and that God's family grows. So there's a greater level we sang tonight, you know, this greater harvest, a greater level that we can live in. And I believe God wants us to step up and to move into that and learn how to flow in that. We've been talking about it off and on for several years. And if you follow in any ministries at all, you've heard about it. You've heard preaching on prosperity and increase because God has a work that he wants to get done. He wants the world, the nations, to see that God is our God, that it's more than just, well, they see us come to church every week. There's a lot of people who go to church every week that their life does not look like God at all, doesn't resemble anything in the kingdom of God, but they go to church every week. They're faithful as they can be going to church. That's just, it's what they do, but you don't see God in their character, in their attitudes. And there's a lot of people going to church every week and in debt up to their eyeballs, and complaining about the price of gas and the price of groceries, and, well, you just can't afford to do this, and you just can't afford to do that. Well, I can't afford to do that. And it's like, I'm not saying I never complain, because that would be a lie, and I don't want to be a liar either. But I strive to not do that. And when they start, sometimes it's not the time to say anything, I just think, praise God. God, I don't want gas to go to $5 a gallon or $10 a gallon, but I just praise God that if it goes that high, he will always supply us gas. We will always have money for gas. We'll always have gas, one way or the other, whether it's with money or we just get the gas. But we will always have, our needs met. And I praise God that, and even if it's something that might be a little beyond where we are, or just something that we don't even really want to do, I don't want to catch myself or be caught saying, well, we just can't afford that, because we serve a big God. And if it would be the desire of my heart, there is a way that God will give me the desire of my heart. And I just praise God. I just, you know, we don't have bazillions, but we have enough money. We could do, at this stage of the game, anything we would want to do, we could go out and do it today. Because, I mean, at this stage, we don't have any desires that would be beyond that too much, maybe. But we could do whatever we wanted. If we wanted to take a great big fancy vacation tomorrow, we could do it. Because God has blessed us. And we haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants to do. We haven't even scratched the surface. Okay, so it's God's will for you to prosper. It is. We just found out in the Word, and we're gonna get those words in us. We're going to know these principles. We're going to know that it's not just, yeah, it is. We are going to know. This is what he says over and over and over and over and over. He just keeps saying this. And we're going to start paying attention to him and listening to him, aren't we? Praise God. Prosperity is the manifestation of God's presence in your life. You know, the verse we just read, that the nations will see that you are blessed of the Lord. It is the manifestation of God's presence. When you've got the presence of God, you're unlimited. Think about Jesus when he was out there preaching to the 10,000 men and however many women and kids out there on the hillside and been preaching for 3 days or whatever. And it's like, these people are hungry. They need to eat. And the disciples are, well, man, we don't have enough money to go to town and buy them stuff. You know, what are we going to do? Jesus had the presence of God. 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is the same as nothing in 10,000 or more people. I mean, face it, you know. We could look at 1,000 loaves and it wouldn't be, you know. We could just look at it and that even wouldn't be enough. But you got the presence of God, you're not limited. Anything that is needed is available in the presence of God. It's the manifestation of God's presence in our life. In the scriptures, it even talks about the glory of God. A lot of times when it's referring to the glory of God, it's referring to riches. Talks about the glory of the Gentiles coming in. Riches are a form of glory, but God's glory is his manifested presence. I mean, you know, we see it represented in different ways, but it's the manifested presence of God. Abundance in your life is the manifested presence of God in your life. The fact that you got money in your account, the fact that you can give when we have an offering and you're able to just put in the offering and give whenever we're receiving an offering for somebody, that's the manifested presence of God in your life that you can do that. Because there are so many people that couldn't do that. There are so many people that don't even have any money in their pocket. I mean, they look okay. They look normal. They got stuff. They live in a house. They got a car. They got all this stuff. But they don't have any money. If you'd come up to them and need 50 bucks, they wouldn't have it. But praise God, the manifested presence of God in our life. Let's go back to Deuteronomy for a minute. Chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8:18. Says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you have a center reference, the word establish there means confirm, that he can confirm his covenant. He gives us the power to get wealth to confirm his covenant. Now, we read this kind of in two ways. We read it that he can establish his covenant. You know, we have the wealth so that we can give into the gospel, that God's covenant can be established in the lives of people, that they can hear about Jesus and be saved, come into the kingdom of God. You know, there's the establishing of his covenant in that way of the work of the kingdom that is done. But it's also in this visible manifestation in your life that he can confirm his covenant. The fact that you have power to get wealth and can get it is a confirmation that God has made covenant with us. He has made a covenant with us. He said, this is the evidence. This is the proof. The fact that you've got the ability to generate wealth, to make it happen. And it can come in lots of different ways, whether it is through the avenue of your job, or whether it's investment in some way, or businesses, or whatever way it comes, he gives you the ability to increase. And he says, this is confirmation. The fact that you are able to do this, that you come up with these ideas and these opportunities. And everybody else said, well, man, how did they do that? You know, boy, that somebody, you know, they know somebody. How'd that ever happen for them? Yeah, we know somebody, and it's God, and he makes those things available. He shows us the way. You know, he might say, you know, buy this piece of land. And sometimes people, well, I don't want that. What do I want with this piece of land? But if he says buy it, you might turn around 2 months later and sell it for four or five times what you bought it for. You know, but it's God directing you. It's his ability. He gives us the power to increase, to get wealth. And he says, this is proof that I'm in covenant with you, because I'm letting this happen. I'm making this happen for you. I'm giving you the ability, the power. I'm giving you the direction. I'm showing you where to go, what to do. I'm bringing the opportunity to your door. I am doing all this. This is proof that we've got a covenant, because I'm doing it for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's going to establish his covenant. Now, 3 John 2. I won't even ask you to turn there, because we already talked about that verse, and we all know it really good. It says, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Our soul has to prosper for us to prosper. And your soul prospers when you think and act like God thinks and acts. When you think the way he does, when your thought processes, when your perceptions, when your understanding, when your soul is filled with the mind of Christ, the mind of God, when your soul prospers, it causes the rest of our life to prosper. We've been studying how, you know, and it says, you know, be in health, prosper and be in health. Just how when your soul's healthy, your body's healthy. It affects your body. But praise God, when our soul is healthy, when our soul is prospering, when we have this understanding of the covenant of wealth and the blessing of the Lord, and that God wants this for us, that it is His will, it is His desire, it is His proof that He is in covenant with us, it's His way for the purposes and the plans to be accomplished. When we have that built into our soul, and that's how we think, we're not afraid of money anymore. We're not afraid to reach out. We're not afraid to sow. We're not afraid to give. We're not afraid to increase. I mean, this is kind of silly, but have you ever thought of having a really big home? You know, of just having a really, you know, you see different homes maybe on programs on TV, or you look at the real estate thing in the paper, and you see this home, and maybe it's just, say it's just the two of you, or even if it's your whole family, like you got five in your house or whatever. And you think, man, what would it be like to have a house with maybe 10 bedrooms and 4 or 5 bathrooms and a big family room and a big living room and a big dining room and a big kitchen and maybe a craft room and a room for the pool table and a 4-car garage and just, you know, just this really big place. And I don't know if you've ever done this. Maybe you didn't, but I'll confess. One of my first thoughts is, but think of the utility bills. You know? That's because there's some spots in there that need corrected, that aren't quite lined up with the Word of God, that, you know, that just puts a glitch in that, and it limits me. Now, I'm not saying I desire that kind of a house. I do desire a bigger one, but not strong enough to have one yet, because I haven't really let that, you know, that hasn't become a desire, because I really believe that when it becomes a desire, God will make the way. I do believe that. But there's things that limit it, because my thought is, well, gee, on the salary we make, that'd be an awful lot of increase in just utility bills, you know, and then you got to clean all of that. Yeah. And that means you need to pay someone to help you clean, you know? Because I don't do so good with 3 bedrooms and just a couple other rooms sometimes, you know. I would need help, you know, because that's just a lot of work. And then maintaining all that yard, you know, because sometimes you think, wouldn't it be great to have property, you know, more than just our half acre, you know, lots of property where you could have a barn with horses and ride horses and just all that kind of stuff. And it's like, then you got to take care of all of that. Yeah. You know, sometimes you do have to mow down the weeds or make hay or something, you know, and all, you know, and all, and, but those are all those little limitations that are in our soul that don't line up with what this says. And that, you know, that's kind of a silly example, but we have those thoughts. And then it limits what God is able to do, because I don't see that there's a way for that. So I don't even dream. I don't even think those thoughts, because I just don't see how that could happen. And we've all done that. We all have, all of us probably here right now, have some thoughts now and then of, boy, wouldn't that be nice, but I don't, that's not going to happen. That's a lack of prosperity in our soul, and it blocks what God wants to do. Praise God, we don't want to block. Prosperity is not because of circumstances or economy. It is a choice, a personal decision, a spiritual process. Because God is not limited by our circumstances or economy. Prosperity comes in the kingdom of God. It comes when we're operating in God's ways and in God's kingdom, and in His plans and purposes. And just like Jesus was out there on the hillside and they didn't have hardly any food at all, well, it didn't matter that they didn't have hardly any food. They had God. And God can prosper. He can make things happen. He told Jacob, Gordon preached on that this past year, you know, sowing in famine. It was a time of famine. And he says, Was that Jacob or Isaac? Isaac, sorry about that. Told him, he said, no, don't go down to Egypt. You just stay right here in this land where the famine is and you sow. You sow right here. The conditions were not good. There was a famine. That means the weather conditions were bad. The land was dry. Stuff wasn't growing. He says, you just stay here and you sow. So he obeyed God and he reaped a 100-fold return right there in that barren, dry, famine place. God is not limited. So the fact that we're in a time where our economy's in a little bit of an upheaval and things aren't looking so good in some places, and man, there's so many people without work, and just all the conditions that are around us, prosperity is not stopped by that. It's not stopped by that at all. Not stopped by the circumstances, not stopped by the fact that the government really doesn't have any money. It's not going to stop our prosperity at all. I mean, they're going to have to deal with the problems. They're going to have to do something to fix it. They're going to have to turn to God, because only God can fix. I mean, you know, only God could get us out of the debt that this nation is in. I mean, you know, man is just limited. And only God could get us out of that debt. But praise God, he's more than willing to do it. He has a way if we'll just follow him. So it's not because of circumstances or economy. It's because of God. And it's by a choice. It's by faith. And it's by us choosing to walk in the things of God and being willing to have our soul transformed and conformed to the way that God thinks, and then being obedient to what he tells us to do. We can have prosperity in any condition, any circumstance. We can prosper and increase. It can happen anywhere. They say, well, you know, that's just an American idea. You can't teach this in other places. You know, it's because we have money here in this country. So, you know, we have all these jobs and opportunities. And praise God, we do. We are a super blessed land. Even as messed up as we are the most blessed place still because of the grace of God. But you know, there are people in Africa where there's nothing. And they are living in this. And they are building buildings and churches and schools and hospitals and businesses and stuff without a single penny of debt. And they don't get money from America. They get it from God. They're living in these principles. And they're prospering and excelling. And it is obvious to the people that live around them because they have these giant compounds. I think it's Bishop Oedipo, I think is the one. I believe it's in Nigeria. They have this humongous church, little seat, I don't know, 30,000 or 50,000, some big number that we're not used to. Have this church. They have a school. They have a hospital. They have their own roads and equipment to build their own roads and stuff within their whole compound and community. They have businesses. They've just got everything. And he has done it all with no debt in a poor African nation. With all these poor people that don't have the education and the privilege that we have and all the access to things. And he's done it all. Because it is God's will for us to prosper. Praise God. If he can do it, we could certainly do a little better than where we are. Praise God, we can move on. Now, I have a whole lot more, but I'm going to stop there. You know, this was just the introduction. See, I have all the rest of this that actually gets into some of this, but we'll do that for another time. But at least tonight, praise God, you heard some things that you can work on your foundations, that we can get those things built into us and begin to think. You know, in Sunday school class, we've been learning how to think and pay more attention to what we think. Well, this is just a particular area where we have some thinking and some thoughts sometimes that don't line up, so we can work on changing those thoughts, and we can begin to have our thoughts line up that God wants us to prosper, and we're going to obey him. We're going to let him do that. We're going to let him do that for us individually, but for us as a church. Praise God. God has delivered this church out of debt. You know, it's the blessing of God. It's not because we were just so sharp. It's the blessing. I mean, when we first bought this, I'll finish with this. We just got about a minute. But when we bought this building in 1987, it was a blessing of God. We only paid $50,000 for this place. I mean, that is a deal. We had, I don't know, 130 people or something, maybe. I don't know how many people we had. But it wasn't because we had that many people. God just blessed. And do you know that within 3 years, we were up here burning our mortgage? Praise God, you know, just, and, you know, we hadn't stepped into the prosperity level yet of where we could buy the building without having to get a mortgage, but praise God, in 3 years. Then we had to turn around, put a new roof on the place, and had to go get another mortgage. And it was only for like 5 years, it was like a five-year balloon thing. And at the end of 5 years, it was going to just convert then to whatever the current rate was. Well, they told us all that stuff, and frankly, they weren't honest with us. Because when that 5 years was up, they said, well, your loan's due right now. And we still owed like $9,000. You probably all can kind of remember that several years back. And we just said, we can do this. We can believe God. Just start sowing. God will increase you. And do you know within, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Yeah. We paid that off. And we were puny. We were little. We didn't have all those 100 and some people then like we did the first time. We just had our little handful. And God bless, and people started sowing. And then we started getting testimonies because they were giving and they were increasing. Good things were happening. So praise God, we're going to stay in that flow. Going to get into that flow and stay in that flow so God can do big things. Amen? Let's stand up. Praise you, Father. Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your goodness, and thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it is your will and desire for us to prosper. And God, we want to do your will. We want to be what you want us to be. And sometimes that requires us some really renewing our mind and changing the way we think so that we can begin to walk in this and that we can get all our attitudes and ideas right so that we can walk in this blessing and walk in this ability that you have placed in us through the Spirit of God and through the new birth in Jesus Christ. You have given us the power to get wealth and to prosper and to be blessed. And Father, we just thank you for that. We just set ourselves now to just grow in this area and to just begin to step up, to come up to a new level so that you can do greater things through us. God, that you can do great and mighty things through even just this little group of people right here. You can do great things in the kingdom of God because we have unlimited resources in you that we could do things that maybe churches with thousands of people wouldn't be able to do if they wouldn't follow after you and would try to be doing it on their own. We can do even greater things because it's you, Father. It is your presence manifested in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.